Three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
And welcome to the morning show on a Tuesday, rainy Tuesday. A little slick again out there, so do be careful in and around Atlanta after the heavy rains of yesterday. Man, it's cold and rainy. This is like, we went too hot in October to too cold in November. Pretty darn quick, didn't we? I mean, we didn't really have fall. It just like went summer, winter.
AT told you it was coming though.
Like I know
weather
he did.
Weather guy.
I know.
Weather guru. He said it last week. I remember saying, you know, it's gonna be cold next week. So I mean, it's like I cannot complain about this because I look at it like this, John. In a couple days it'll be warm again. We just gotta get past this here monsoon of rainstorms that's going on. And just get ready for what's on the other side of it. That's how I look at it. Yeah, you look funny, by the way, with your face all shaved.
I was wondering how long it would take you.
No, I mean, it's just like you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait for that L.
Well, oh, no, I could wait for the L. I've got the rally beard is gone. Did you just notice it, Daryl?
Yeah. And then you done came in the room twice.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, but there's a special announcement on Friday.
Indeed.
I will say that. There's a special announcement coming up on Friday. What AT? You just noticed it too that I shaved off the rally beard.
I don't pay you any attention in the morning.
Do you mean like a special announcement that has to do with your beard?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, when he's going to grow it back. He cut it off to grow it back.
Spoiler alert, Hugh.
Well, I mean, like,
did you know that was coming?
That's kind of
John,
part of
it. Is that the announcement that you're growing?
No. That's not the whole thing.
So I don't need to hit the spoiler alert sounder on you?
No.
Because I was getting ready to light him up.
No, that's not the whole thing. Uh-uh. You all here.
Does it have to do with the month that we're in?
No, it's just cold. I mean, it's November. It's almost like...
Well, John, you have me on the edge of my seat for Friday.
Sure,
I can't.
Sure
look at you. I see you.
Forward.
Be careful, Wendy.
It better be intriguing, too.
No.
If it's not, we're going to let you have it.
It just
with both barrels.
That I don't.
It just better be intriguing.
Okay,
it just means he wants another coach fired.
The rally fired beard.
So do I need to hit this spoiler alert on Hugh Douglas?
No.
Why do you want to hit it on me? Like we didn't see this coming. He said it yesterday.
Yeah, I don't.
But he said there's a special announcement attached to it.
What? That he's growing his beard back and what? He's going to what? Let his hair grow too? What? What?
He's going to be
sad.
No.
You're going to grow a mustache?
He's going to be the 92.9 Santa Claus.
Oh,
you are, John?
I'm going to grow a goatee.
Can I give you my Christmas?
Wait, did you notice that Wendy just got interested when he said that? Yeah. He said, oh, he's going to be Santa Claus. And then Wendy got like hyper interested.
Oh, you're going to be Santa Claus? I'm too old to go to the mall, Santa's.
Oh.
Like by myself.
Well, Lennox has the best Santa.
By myself.
But I'm going to slide.
I mean, but he's going to be the PC Santa. He ain't going to let you sit on the lap. He's going to give our handshakes.
Yeah. How are you?
How you doing?
Well, I didn't know where you're going there, but okay.
Oh, where the hell are you?
I just wanted a Christmas present.
Yeah,
that's all.
Kind of where I was going.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, like some people used to, you know, back in the day, you used to tell Santa what you wanted, sit on his lap.
Yeah.
No, you don't sit on that Santa lap. You shake his hand, and y'all stand there, and when y'all take pictures, y'all take them side by side, like elbow to elbow.
I'm glad we've had this conversation.
Yeah, yes.
Well, PC Santa.
Christmas.
Hey, PC Santa.
6 weeks to Christmas. I mean, we are, you know, that's
how many weeks to Thanksgiving?
That's what I was about to say. We've killed off.
Don't jump my birthday for Christmas.
We've officially killed off Thanksgiving.
It's the 2 weeks.
Thank you, John.
I mean, I know that, John Freaky, but we've killed it off.
9 days, actually.
No, we didn't.
Why didn't we?
Because, Hugh, so you have from November 1st through the 21st, that's Christmas. Thanksgiving on the 22nd. Then from the 23rd on, you've got Christmas.
Okay, well, Wendy, when you turn on TV, what commercial do you usually see? I can tell you all the commercials that I've seen.
From now until the 22nd,
no, but we've killed off. But we've killed off Thanksgiving.
It's there. We'll celebrate it.
We've overlooked Thanksgiving. Like all the consumers, all the people that are selling stuff to us, they have overlooked Thanksgiving, and we went straight to Christmas.
Hey, he's right.
Straight
well,
to
because
Christmas.
I know where to find turkeys and stuff in the grocery store, so right,
well,
tell me that.
I mean, poor Thanksgiving gets lost.
No, it does. When you look at the advertisement and you look at everything that everything is geared towards on television right now,
right,
it's Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
There's no mention of Thanksgiving,
right? None.
And so you talk about we've skipped, we've skipped fall and went straight to winter.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what we've done.
Right.
We skipped fall. You remember how fall used to be with the cornucopia and all the other stuff? Used to have pictures of that and the turkeys and everything. You barely even see that. People are putting up their Christmas decorations
From a consumer standpoint, I think the two things have happened. One was the advent of Black Friday, and the second was that Halloween became so commercial that suddenly, you know, like in late August and early September, you have all this Halloween creep in because they can monetize Halloween. Mm-hmm. You can't. The only people that can monetize Thanksgiving are people like Kroger and Publix. You know, I mean, that's it. You know, nobody else.
Yeah, because it's food.
You know,
it's food, basically right? Around the food.
Right. And so, you know, the department stores and the Amazons of the world, they can't really monetize. So they push Christmas on you. As soon as they monetize Halloween, suck everything out of Halloween they can, and they immediately go into Christmas.
Speaking of Amazon, did you see that we lost a bid? We lost a bid for Amazon.
Because
I think, was it going to Virginia? Is it going to Virginia? It's two spots. I forgot the other spot, but one of them
I
want to
say it's outside of the New York area and Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah, which makes no sense to me because, I mean, from a tax standpoint, why in the hell would you go to outside New
York
area?
Or yeah, that to me didn't make any sense. But
we've got
an
airport down here and all that kind of stuff, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you made a bad decision, but hey, you know what? Live with it. Deal with it. But yeah, I mean, this whole, like even now, like starting to, like people are starting to get their Christmas list together and asking about, hey, what do you want for Christmas? I don't want nothing for Christmas. Mm. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what I want for Christmas. I want my bathroom redone. That's what I want.
Well, go ahead and get your bathroom done, John Freaking.
Yeah, it's like 10 grand, you know.
Damn, for a bathroom?
Yeah.
That's about the same as I never understood cabinets. Why are they so expensive?
Because they're custom, usually.
Yeah, but still, that's a lot of money to pay for some cabinets.
Yeah, it's just labor. I mean, you're paying for the.
I mean, I get it. I understand it, but it's just like, I don't like it. I don't like it, but I mean, I definitely understand.
Yeah, that and windows. You ever price those out?
No.
Oh, windows.
Not windows.
You get a standard size 2-story house and you want nice windows? Oh, you're looking at least 15.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Maybe 20.
Yeah, I need. I should have built houses.
1,000?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, all that little stuff in the house that you that custom stuff like your closets and stuff like that. Oh, they hit you over the head for that.
Yep.
I know about the closets, but the windows like that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do we get off on this?
Who knows?
We went off on the tangent.
We're giving thanks for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's exactly what we're doing. And we are 9 days away from Thanksgiving. A lot going on last night. Monday Night Football, the Giants beat the Niners 27-23.
That was a pretty good game. You know, I watched a little bit of it.
I know.
They went a little back and forth.
And if I'm a Giants fan, I'm mad we won the game. Well, I guess maybe nobody else is going to take Justin Herbert, but I mean.
You're talking about draft picks already.
Yeah, man. I mean, aren't you? If you're a Giants fan, you know.
I mean, not really. They could salvage this season.
They have to win seven more in a row.
They could do it. It's possible.
I guess it is.
It's possible.
I guess so. And we'll get
I don't think it's going to happen, though.
Ronald Acuna in about 8 minutes here, we'll get into the story about the Rookie of the Year and what baseball is doing. Hawks play tonight against Golden State. Golden State last night lost in overtime to the Clippers. And this is something about the media that really bugs me. And I don't know if anybody else saw this, but there was a big headline on ESPN this morning. Draymond and Kevin Durant get into you can check it out. It's right there on the front page. Into a dust-up. And it's like a big headline about how they got into a fight toward the end of the game at the end of regulation because Draymond didn't handle the ball correctly at the end of regulation. So I go, oh, they did. So I go to the video. I'm watching it. They kind of chirped at each other for about 5 seconds, you know. And Draymond said something and Kevin said something. And then they walked away. It was like, really? You found two guys chirping each other for like a half a second and you blow it into a big headline?
That's a dust-up in the NBA.
Yeah, especially I mean.
But you know what I think makes that so significant is because when you look at that team and you see how they are cut for one another, I mean, they're true teammates. For them to do that, that is kind of a big deal this early in the season. I would say that's probably why it got as much headlines as it did.
And partially because it was Draymond Green's first game back on the court. And he did. Dribble the ball and turn it over. He should have given it up.
He should have given it up. I agree.
But it's the Warriors, and everything is going to be
magnified a thousand times.
There you go.
Yeah, because I looked at the dust up, and I expected them to like be going at each other when I saw the headline, and I saw it, and one guy kind of went, and the other guy went, and that was pretty much it.
But here was the funny thing about it. The peacemaker was DeMarcus Cousins.
Now, that is funny, if you think about it. That is kind of a little bit different. But the Hawks play Golden State tonight without Steph Curry. Oh, that'll give him a chance. All right. We have coverage beginning at 10 o'clock tonight. So if you're in your car this morning and you don't think you can sleep tonight or you've got the day off tomorrow, game doesn't start till 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, and which, by the way, when we come in tomorrow morning, I'll be saying, what the hell happened to the basketball game last night?
It's going, yeah, you better catch a nap if you want to watch a little bit of that. You better catch a nap.
Even AT going to be hard-pressed for that one.
First quarter, if that.
If that. 10:30, yeah, 10:30 tip, that's going to be a tough one. And this is the second game of a ridiculously hard West Coast swing or a road swing for the Atlanta Hawks. They had to play the Lakers, and, of course, they botched that one, and now they got to play Golden State. Then they've got to play Denver coming up on Thursday, and we know that if you've been paying attention, the Denver Nuggets are one of the hottest teams in the NBA and a team that might be a threat to make some serious noise in the playoffs in the West. And then, of course, and Denver was made in great part by the decision of the Hawks to release Paul Millsap, who's been really good in Denver. And, of course, we know how good a player Paul Millsap is. And then it ends in Indiana against no less than Victor Oladipo. Because if there's two players in the NBA that are the most underrated players because nobody talks about how great they are, it's Kemba Walker in Charlotte and Victor Oladipo in Indiana.
Yeah, we got a little bit of chance to see Kemba Walker a couple weeks ago when they played Atlanta. They played extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just thinking, John, do you still think the East is comparable still to the West?
Especially with Jimmy Butler? Yeah, you bet.
You still think so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually do. I think you've got – I'm not going to say it's all the way through in a depth situation,
mm-hmm.
but top three, top four, I'd put the top three, top four up against the top three, top four of the West. I mean, absolutely.
I find that interesting.
Maybe in one game, not a series.
Toronto's pretty darn good. I mean,
they got beat by New Orleans last night.
I understand that, but all they're right. Pretty darn good.
Milwaukee's
pretty
game.
Darn good.
I think it's interesting that my man John Freaky is sticking to his guns like he is. I respect that.
I just don't think the difference between the East and West is that great. I mean, I'll give an edge to the West, but I don't think it's like if you rank the top 10 teams in the NBA, they're not all from the West. I mean, four of them at least are from the East, or maybe half.
Okay, I give you that.
So I think it's pretty close in terms of top 10. Now, yeah, there's more depth in the West. Yes. Well, we got some good news for the Atlanta Braves. A little chop-on news for one youngster who's going to have to build himself a big shelf because it's the first award that he can stick on of what I think will be very, very many awards that he wins in his illustrious career. That's next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our Atlanta United have advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals. Catch all the action of the first leg Sunday the 25th. Pre-game at 4:30, kickoff at 5. Our Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Competition featuring two left fielders barely out of their teens. The writers chose the Braves' Ronald Acuna Jr. as the National League winner of the Jackie Robinson Rookie of the Year Award over the Nationals' Juan Soto. Acuna placed first on 27 ballots and second on the other three.
Major League Baseball Network last night making the understated announcement of Rookie of the Year for Ronald Acuna. And as it turns out, it was a blowed out. Welcome back to the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Blowed out.
No question about that, man. And I was wrong about that. But I was right in the sense that it was going to be between those two. But I didn't think that it was going to be one horse race, to be totally honest. Ronald Acuña, congratulations to him. Congratulations to the Braves. I mean, you talk about his numbers, though, John, I guess, in the second half of the season. You really can't dispute that. 26 homers, 16 steals, and a .552 slugging percentage. I mean, that's pretty dope. So I guess, it was a no-brainer for the baseball writers.
They're both going to be great players. I don't think anybody doubts that. And we have such high hopes around here for Ronald Acuña. And, whether or not, times where, Hugh, we have been, you're fortunate when you see a young talent that some guys are flash in the pan, right? I mean, we've seen flash in the pan guys all over the place. You go through all the list of Mark Fidrich. I mean, just using baseball. I mean, we could talk about the NFL, but just use baseball. Like Mark Fidrich or Fernando Valenzuela or Jolton Joe Charbonneau, guys that ascended and were for a brief period of time kind of like stars. And then there's other guys that you look at where you say, this guy's going to be a star for a long time. You stand by and see what's going to develop. And he does, if Ronald Acuña Jr. does this right, He's going to be in it, a major league superstar in 15, 20, maybe 20 years.
Yeah, barring injuries, John, that's the biggest thing. I think that when you look at the way that he plays the game and the way that he approaches that, it's safe to say that he will be a superstar. But, you know, you always worry about those intangibles like injuries and everything like that. But if barring anything serious happening to him, yes, I do agree with that.
Yeah, and you could trust that against the American League Rookie of the Year, which no surprise, Shohei Ohtani. But the thing about Ohtani is, yes, he became the fourth Japanese player to win the Rookie of the Year with Nomo and Sasaki and Suzuki. But he's 24 going on 25. The funny thing about him, he's such a great pitcher and such a great hitter, it's almost like you're going to have to at some point decide which are you going to do with him. To me, I think you make him a hitter, but that's just me. Yeah, he can pitch, and he's really good at pitching, and excellent at pitching, but his bat is really lively, but he's 24. And so if you look at Ronald Acuna, boy, the upside of this guy, this is like Andrew Jones and Chipper Jones. You just know that what you have. And now, of course, the Braves look back, and I guess we could say that Alex Anthopoulos made the right move, you know, back in April when he decided to delay him coming up because they get that next year with him.
I tell you what, I think it was more of and you're right. I want to say that first. You're right. But, you know, I think going into the season, I think it was more of, hey, man, let's just let these young guys play and see how it worked out. Worked out well for him. Mm-hmm. Worked out extremely well for him.
Right.
And you saw the huge dividends that is paid, and he's become he's potential all-star, going to be an all-star. So I think it was a great move, definitely a great move, put this team in a position where nobody thought it would be where it was this year, making it to the playoffs, and now the sky's the limit.
And I would just hope that, and I'm sure that they do, you know, you forget that Ozzie Albies is barely older than Acuna. And that those two
and they're the bestest of friends.
Yeah, the bestest of friends, that's for sure. And those two that's my point. Those two are so tied at the hip. One of the things I wouldn't want to do yet, not for a few years, Hugh, is I wouldn't want to break that duo up.
I don't think they plan on doing that, John. I don't even think that's in the cards for them. I think, if anything, they want to try to strengthen the players around them so that, you know, that they can make some noise next year. But I think for the Braves next year, they're looking to that, like they just scratched the surface on what they're potentially trying to do, especially with some of these young players. You talk about in Major League Baseball, I think this year was the year that I've seen most younger players contribute more than any other year in Major League Baseball. I'm talking about the Juan Sotos and the Shohei Ohtanis and guys like that. There was a lot of young players that burst onto the scene and that made a lot of noise for their ball clubs this year. And I think that's just going to be the trend from now on in Major League Baseball.
Well, one of the interesting things is Alex Anthopoulos said, you know, last week in his interview that he said, we need to go out and get a corner outfielder. Now, I don't really know. I'm not 100% sure what does that mean. Does that mean you're going to be able – obviously, you've got two gold glovers next to Ronald Acuna, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're willing to part with one of the two. The question is, which one? I think the assumption is that Nick Markakis might not be on the team next year and that Ronald Acuna could be moved to right field and you could go get a left fielder. But it does also mean that Ronald Acuna, natural center fielder, could go to center field and Ender Inciarte kind of be out of the mix, and you're just looking for somebody to take over left for Acuna. Markakis is still on right. I don't know what – it's going to be interesting in this offseason to see which direction they go with the outfield.
Yeah. I mean, and for him to say that lets you kind of know that there might be some moves being made. You know, there are some names been thrown out there. I know Bryce Harper's name was one of the names. I don't know if, you know, you're talking about turning out $300 million. I don't know what it's going to take. How much is going to take to get a guy like Bryce Harper here?
I'm less concerned about the amount of money than I am about all these rumors about the fact that he was a bad egg.
Yeah, especially for this locker room. Especially for this locker room and the way that this team seemed like they were a tight-knit group. You know, we were talking about that the other day as far as, you know, when you think about getting the talent that you could potentially get on a team, people tend to forget that there has to be a cohesiveness in the locker room that has to go along with being able to play together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people tend to forget that, man. I mean, that the chemistry in the locker room is just as important as the play on the field.
Well, this is one of the reasons I think the Braves ascended to the heights they did this year was the chemistry on the team.
Yeah, and the fact that I don't think, like, the players felt that they had an opportunity to make some noise this year, but I don't think that they really felt I don't think they really knew how good they could potentially be.
Yeah, it's like, for example, next year, just kind of projecting out, if Bryce Harper is the bad egg, I want to warn everybody that Washington may actually be better next year, because even without Bryce Harper, because you get that out of there, they still have tons of talent.
Yeah.
That pitching staff is still seriously good.
Strasburg need to try to stay healthy, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Boy, I can't remember.
That's better for everything with him, too.
I can remember vividly when he came into the majors, and I remember everybody was on Strasburg watch, and it seemed like every year when they were getting ready to make a playoff push, something was wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't remember any year that they were getting ready to go into the playoffs where he was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He was not injured. So, yeah, it's one of those things. You got to keep him healthy.
Well, tonight is the Manager of the Year. There are three Manager of the Year candidates in the National League. They are Bub Black of the Rockies, Craig Counsell of the Brewers, and Brian Snicker of the Braves. Now, here's my prediction on that. The Braves are not going to get – Snicker is not going to get Manager of the Year. That's going to go to Craig Counsell of the Brewers. And look, rightfully so. The Brewers had the best record in the National League. They won the NL Central. This is a regular season award, mind you. And they won the NL Central by beating the Cubs in that playoff game. I have no problem with Craig Counsell being Manager of the Year. But I will say this, going to the Braves, how much of a difference does it make for 1 year? We were sitting before the season this year. One of the questions that we had, and we were talking about it in the bullpen, Hugh, was Alex Anthopoulos, the new general manager, is going to want his own guy. When did they fire Brian Snicker? And now we're sitting here in November talking about the Manager of the Year candidates, and that I think Brian Snicker will end up finishing second in Manager of the Year and is looking at long-term. He's got a new contract. That's amazing.
Yeah, and he's highly respected in the locker room. A lot of guys gravitated towards him. You're talking about coming up through the farm system like he did. He had a great rapport with most of the guys that were in the locker room. So, yeah, great job by Brian Snicker. No question about that.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what Alex Anthopoulos. By the way, the Executive of the Year was last week. And, Alex, do you know this, that Alex Anthopoulos wasn't even nominated? Come on. Seriously? Okay, whatever. I mean, all right.
Okay, playing devil's advocate. I mean, he did come in to a situation where it was, like, when you look at the players that was already here, it was already, like, he's already, the pieces were already here. It just kind of played out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he added a whole lot of different things. It was just like he just came in and kind of righted the ship a little bit.
Well, maybe that's to his credit.
Mm.
I mean, because you want to come in and you want to put your own stamp on things, right? I mean, you want to come in and make major changes, and he didn't. He held the line in a lot of places where, you know, somebody like me wouldn't have, like with Johan Camargo, for example. I'll readily admit that. I would have been much more interested in moving on.
Like you want to fire people, you'd be trading them every day.
Yeah, I mean.
I would be a bad, bad general manager, wouldn't I?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, but hey, man, at least you know it. I mean, you know, it takes a big man to sit here and know when he's wrong.
He went 0 for 4. Get him out of here.
Yeah, I have no patience.
You're only 2 weeks into the season.
Hey, you want to join us Northside Drive across from the Gold Deck Sunday for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show starting at 9 a.m. Guys are going to break down the upcoming game and all. It is a load of fun. If you're going to the game on Sunday, 9 a.m., Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Northside Drive across from the Gold Deck. Be there. When we get back, some of the things that are making news on a rainy, cold, wintry-like Tuesday in TWZ, the Wendy Zone, on The Morning Show with John and Hugh.
Time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, sort of some sad news to start this off with, but if you're a fan of the Marvel Comics, legend Stan Lee has passed away yesterday at the age of 95. No word on the cause of death, but he started Marvel back in 1961 with Jack Kirby. Then they co-created the Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, Black Panther, The Incredible Hulk, X-Men, Iron Man, and the Avengers. He essentially revolutionized comics by creating superheroes that had these human flaws and that people and adult readers could relate to. So he sort of changed the comic book game.
He did.
Back in 1961.
He really did. And you got to think, a lot of people don't know this, but that was during the Civil Rights Movement. It was during that, like, the height of the Civil Rights Movement. And he created two of his most famous characters from Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. And Malcolm X was Dr. Magneto. was based on a Malcolm X, like the Malcolm X side of it, and Professor Xavier was Dr. Martin Luther King. A lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
That's my comic book nerdom. That's coming out.
Look at you.
I figured you'd be able to.
You know what, man? Because I thought that was like a lot of people don't know that. Like because of they both had two opposing sides, and that's why like all of his comic book characters. When you get off into like the background or what they're based off of, like the Incredible Hulk,
mm-hmm.
split personality, paranoid schizophrenic,
right?
Like basically that's what that is. And, you know, all these other different characters. And so I thought it was kind of interesting to see how these characters came to life. And that's why they kind of... Forget you, Daryl, why you're over there laughing at me.
No, it's funny, man, because you like you're passionate about this.
No, because, man, I'm telling you...
But
like,
Stan Lee was his own kind of superhero, dude.
Yeah
no, like, I get it.
Like, he had his missteps in life. It's funny because everybody has, you know, everybody has their issues.
But years of issues.
Yeah. And so he got past that. But yeah, man, you know, it was a sad day for a lot of comic book nerds out there yesterday.
Yeah, a lot of celebrities in the Marvel movies were tweeting out yesterday. It was definitely a trending topic on Twitter and on Facebook. But he's made appearances in 26 Marvel movies, apparently already did his cameo for the upcoming Avengers 4.
Yeah, he's in every single movie. He's sort of like Hitchcock. Hitchcock was in every one of his own movies.
Yeah, it says he does have a cameo in Ralph Breaks the Internet, which will be out next week.
So that's new.
Yes.
Because I saw that, and they was like, oh, it's going to be. I thought it was something
else. Another Gloria, looking forward to that one.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty funny.
It's like, you know, they had to figure out how to get him into all the movies in some form or fashion, right?
Well, just listen to the names of celebrities who were paying tribute to Stan Lee yesterday. Robert Downey Jr., who was Iron Man, Chris Evans, Captain America, Chris Hemsworth, Thor, Scarlett Johansson. You have Mark Ruffalo, Tom Holland, Hugh Jackman, Ryan Reynolds are just some of the celebrities that paid tribute to Stan Lee, the comic Marvel writer. Yesterday, and also Halle Berry.
And what a life he lived. I mean, he lived to 95. I mean,
that's a nice run. That's a nice run.
95's a win. You know?
Yeah, that's a nice run. I mean, you can't live forever. He had a nice run.
Yeah, he had a hell of a run. You know, and it was always fun to try to figure out how to figure, you know, where was Stan Lee going to be in the movie? You always had to look for him.
Yeah, but you know, the sad part about it is now, like, what's going to happen to his empire? You know, because when you move on, when you move on, you know, in this whole, what was it, Fox and Universal Studios or whatever, they were trying to merge the two franchises and everything. And what's going to happen? I think his wife's still alive. And she's not alive. It's really going to be a mess then if his estate, how is he going to, you know, parcel out his estate and everything?
Were you just hoping he left detailed instructions
for whomever
he wanted to take over?
He has two daughters, but his wife passed away a year ago.
I'm sure he thought that out and has detailed instructions from what he hopes.
Hopefully one of the kids is strong enough to, you know,
to keep it going.
And grandchildren. Well, this is something that came up during the break. I don't know where John Fricky found this, but on Thursday, a well-known painting by this British artist named David Hockney is poised to smash the record for work by a living artist sold at auction. So the portrait is a painting. It's called Portrait of an Artist, Pool with Two Figures. It's set to be sold at Christie's Post-War and Contemporary Art Evening Sale in New York for an estimated price of $80 million. The current record was set by Jeff Koons in 2013 when The Balloon Dog sold for $58.4 million. I couldn't even fathom spending $100 on a painting. But essentially, it is a picture of a pool and a landscape in the background of like mountains and a figure in the pool and a figure standing beside.
Right. I mean, and I looked at it, and $80 million, I would walk past this at Kohl's. I mean, it just wouldn't even... I mean,
there's a story behind it, and apparently
I could paint a story behind a painting.
But apparently he's been a really well-known artist for a long time in the art world, so this is a big deal that he's releasing this painting. But apparently when he moved to California, he became obsessed with pools and like the lines of the water. So he says in painting pools, you can actually make some movement.
But $80 million?
$80 million.
You know what?
Yeah, I'm not spending $80 million.
I don't know enough about art.
What was the one painting you say went for $54 million? Moondog painting?
Balloon Dog.
Balloon Dog.
It's not a painting. Go, but search Balloon Dog. Just put it in
Google.
That's
what I'm doing.
It looks like, you know those balloons that you get for kids when the balloon artists are out on the street? It's essentially that, just blown up. So it literally is a balloon dog.
No, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at, one of them.
Really?
$58.4 million, yes. like the balloons that you get your child, but it's blown up into like a set, like a big art piece. Balloon dog.
I'm okay. I obviously do not admittedly understand art.
I'm going to do like balloon crown. That's going to be my next piece.
No, it's
I don't know. I look at this painting and I'm sure he's a great painter, but I look at this and I think, yeah, okay.
It's really to each their own on what you spend your money on.
It's only worth what you pay for.
Exactly. Well, people value certain things. Yeah. Like Daryl, and not only that, records. Yeah. People value baseball.
But not only that, it's something like people look at paintings and they stare at them for hours.
Mm-hmm.
And they pick out stuff in paintings that you would never normally notice if you're just, you know, as a layperson. So it's one of those things where it's an acquired taste, no question about that.
When I went to the Louvre and I saw Rembrandt, I stood there and looked at the Rembrandt self-portrait, the big one, and I must have looked at it for 30 minutes and said, okay, this guy's the greatest painter in the history of the world. I was fascinated. I mean, the light and the oil that Rembrandt did, I said, okay, you can have Da Vinci, you can have Michelangelo, you can have Raphael, you can have anybody, Rembrandt's greatest ever. But that was to me.
Hold up, and this one thing that you say, Jeff Koons, right? The guy that made it.
Yes, made the balloon dog.
It was not a paint. It's a balloon dog.
Yeah, it's like a tin balloon dog.
That's pretty dope, though. I mean, I don't think I
find more interesting than this painting.
No, I mean,
it's a balloon. It looks like just like a child's balloon.
But it's more interesting than this painting.
But it's pretty dope. Like the
gold line, dog.
Yes, but it. But for somebody to pay $54 million for it,
where are you going to put the balloon dog in your house?
You're not.
You know what? I'm gonna do something like this.
Where are you gonna put it?
It's big.
It's huge.
We'll make an acrylic football and sell it and sign it.
Let's see
how much acrylic football with
you
little
man,
I would light you up
with little watercolor paintings that sprinkles in the middle, like little stripper glitter all through the ball.
Oh gosh.
Like that.
Of course, he had.
See here, here's
not just glitter, right?
Here's the thing. I can always see this,
but I have to describe it in a way that people would understand. This is radio. This is not TV. This is so I have to.
So glitter wasn't descriptive enough.
No, stripper glitter.
Okay.
See now that would make it interesting.
Iridescent.
No, yes, iridescent.
Like that red stripper glitter that was on your cheek.
I didn't have any stripper glitter.
Oh,
stop that there. I did not have any stripper glitter on my teeth.
Do we have another story we should follow up with?
I don't go to the strip club anymore. It's the old Hugh Douglas.
Is there something you would like to share?
When did the new Hugh Douglas begin? Like yesterday?
I hate you guys.
Hugh has a story he would like to share with the room.
I didn't go to the strip club.
This painting is going to become an internet meme.
You had glitter on your cheek.
He so did.
I did not go. It was raining yesterday. Why would I go to the strip club on a rainy day? Oh, yeah. No, but I didn't go.
That wasn't yesterday, I speak.
Indoors.
Exclusive performance.
Right, from the painting of a man at the edge of a pool to the painting of a man at the edge of his season, what Dan Quinn said about Deion Jones next on The Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 90 Found Again.